Hi, I'm Rob Wright, and I am here with my colleague, the cloud editor of CRN, Andrew Hickey.
Hello.
Glad to have you here. I'm glad we finally get a chance to talk about cloud.
Long-time listener, first-time talker.
It's a very exciting industry that you're covering these days. I want to just jump right in right away with the Cloud 100 list that you have been working very hard on that is coming up in CRN. What is the Cloud 100? This is the second year that we have done a list like this. What is it? Can you tell us a little bit about it? And we'll get into, I guess, how much work it was for you in a bit. But describe it for us.
Yeah, the Cloud 100 is really, it's a list recognizing kind of the best of the cloud vendors, the top cloud vendors out there, the ones that are kind of top of mind when you talk about cloud computing. And, you know, we took a look at the 100. We can call them the coolest. We can call them the top. It's the ones out there that are making a splash, broken up into five categories based on their technology space, whether it's infrastructure, platform, software and apps, storage, or security. So, you know, we looked at 20 companies in each of those categories to come up with the 100, and it's a pretty solid illustration of, you know, the growth that's going on in the cloud industry to see that, A, there are well over 100 vendors, and that, you know, we actually had to cut it off at one point and say, all right, this is the 100, this is as far as we can go.
So there were many more that probably could have been added. There's obviously a lot of companies out there that are doing something either directly in cloud technology or sort of peripherally.
Yeah, a little of both. I mean, you know, if we had, we could probably have, you know, the 100 cloud honorable mentions to add on top of the Cloud 100 list. And, you know, I think one of the things that comes up is, you know, a lot of these companies are these pure plays in their certain industries, and they're just starting to bring cloud components in, whether, you know, you have a security vendor who, you know, within the last year or so realized that they could either protect the cloud, offer security from the cloud, or offer security, you know, in the cloud or cloud-based security. And, you know, it's going to take a time. It's going to take some time for them to be considered a quote-unquote cloud vendor instead of just their strict security roots. So, right. Yeah, there are. It's really a growth industry, and, you know, a lot of people want a piece of their pie.
So, if I may, sort of compare the Cloud 100 to something, it's almost like the NCAA tournament. You have your primary, you know, 64, 68 now teams. And then you always have some teams that are kind of, they're contenders that are like bubble teams.
They're the bubbles, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you know, and every once in a while, you know, there's an underdog, there's a 13 seed, there's a VCU that gets into the mix with the big dogs and comes to the dance, you know?
Nice. I think VCU is an 11 seed, but that's okay. I'm not here to correct you. I just, you know, college basketball is my thing. But moving on.
How'd those Spiders do?
Yeah, they made it to the Sweet 16, so we're good there.
Okay, then.
University of Richmond.
We got a Richmond Spiders fan here, folks.
I guess you had mentioned some of the categories in the Cloud 100 list, and I guess I'm interested, from looking at the list, where do you see the most, what do you find the most interesting? Which segment of the cloud?
Well, you know, in my opinion, and this is opinion, not fact.
Yes.
You know, the infrastructure portion has kind of become a little bit commoditized. I mean, you're buying capacity, you're buying cloud infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Platform's still cool because there's still a lot of room for innovation, a lot of room for development, a lot of cool platform things going on. You know, security and storage are security and storage. They're always going to be hot markets, but I really think it's the software and app space that's where the magic is really starting to happen. I mean, you have, you know, I don't want to single out specific vendors, but you have vendors that are making software that makes it possible for you to create an application in your own data center, move it to the cloud without changing any of its attributes. And you know what? If you realize it's not working there the way you want, or you want that data to stay on premise, you can either drag it back down, you can throw it into another cloud with very little overhead. And I think it's going to be some of those technologies, like those cloud management, you know, and a lot of the kind of quote unquote cloud add-ons that we start to see some real innovation that kind of leverage this stuff that has been there for the past couple years, and it really starts to see it get interesting.
So for this year's list, what were there any like real surprises? Were there things that you saw compared to last year's list that were different, that stood out to you, that you thought were you know, particularly interesting?
You know, one of the things that is particularly interesting is a lot of, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the traditional vendors for certain segments, but a lot of those, a lot of them have really made it a point to, you know, flex their cloud muscle, to show that they're really honing their cloud strategy. I mean, you take some of the bigger boys, you got your HPs, you know, this is kind of they're really making entrance into the cloud now. So that's kind of interesting. On the security side, it's really notable because you get your big ones like McAfee, your Symantecs, and they're really making a big push to the cloud because they realized early on that that's the way IT is going to be delivered. So, you know, we better get in there, and that's, you know, as companies consider cloud environments, security is a big question. So it's perfect timing for those big boys to kind of exert their cloud dominance, so to speak. Another thing you see, and that's, it's kind of to be expected, is just the boom of startups. I didn't do an exact count on what companies had been, you know, what startups were new to the list this year versus last year, but I can say I'm sure it was easily in double digits, if not more, that companies either completely didn't exist when we put together last year's list, or, you know, they were really just kind of planting their seeds and hadn't started to grow
something.
That's been one of the, I having covered IT for a while, this really is, I mean, one of the biggest growth environments that I've seen in a long time, and there's been so many startups and so many young companies coming in here, and it's and there's a lot of money to go around, so they're getting in on it.
So obviously, this is a pretty big list. It's 100 companies, if we didn't make that clear with the actual name of the Cloud 100 list. Was there a lot of competition to get on the list? And there was a lot of interest from your perspective, a lot of companies that wanted to be part of...
There was. You know, and it's hard. 100 is a finite number, and 20 within each section, it makes it even more limiting, and, you know, it's hard to please everybody when you make a list like this, but, you know, between conversations between the editors and talking with solution providers, you know, I think we did the best that we could with the information we have about these companies, and, you know, I can predict that we'll probably do this again next year, and there'll be a lot of significant changes, and, you know, companies that feel they were left off this year, maybe they can make a solid showing next year.
Did you feel like there were some companies that wanted to get on the list and wanted to have cloud attached to their name, but maybe were not, maybe it wasn't appropriate? You introduced me to the term cloud washing.
Yeah, cloud washing.
as companies, you know, may not be true cloud players, but they want to be. They want to be associated with it because they know it's a growth area. They know it's a buzzword. Did you see a lot of that?
Well, I don't want to name company names, but there were some, you know, cloud creepers out there.
Yes,
that were. Well, I look at it this way: everybody wants cloud money. Mm-hmm. There's a certain spotlight on the cloud right now, and everybody wants to kind of get a little light shown on them. But there are certain companies out there that, I mean, they make networking gear. They make appliances. They make, you know, data center machines.
Sure.
And those aren't cloud. And they're calling it cloud. And, you know, in the case of, like, load balancers, they're important tools for a cloud environment, but I wouldn't say they're cloud appliances. They are not the cloud. They are a component that leads to the cloud, but they themselves are not cloud products.
And I can see how it would be very easy for a vendor who makes some type of data center equipment, whether it's a server or a network switch or routers or something that is on that back end to say, hey, this is cloud.
Right.
Well, it's cloud enabling, but it's not...
I'm seeing that...
It's pretty hard to kind of... To sift through that, I would imagine.
It is. And you know, we get as reporters and editors, you know that you get countless pitches via email every day, and my inbox is just flooded with everybody's the next big thing in the cloud. And, you know, sometimes you just have to realize that not everything is going
to
be cloud.
I can attest to that. I mean, the listeners don't know this, but you and I work in the same vicinity in this office. I am right next to you. I see you getting the phone calls on a daily basis. I see you reading your inbox with sort of the furrowed brow and sort of the, huh?
And you actually have my own extension, so you sometimes by default get those phone calls.
Yes, I have your old extension, so I do get some of those calls where people are, we're trying to get in touch with Andrew Hickey, and we can't locate him. We have a new cloud product. And then I have to give up your number.
It's a wireless router.
Yeah, right. So I know what you go through. It's just amazing to me because this, I guess... In a lot of respects, there are different products, whether it's software or hardware, that can be sort of very easily portrayed as being, you know, some type of cloud technology.
Sure, sure. And in a lot of cases, they are a specific component to a cloud deployment.
Sure.
But that product itself is not a cloud product.
Yeah.
Like, it can be part of the ecosystem on which a cloud is built.
Yeah.
But... No, standing alone, it's a piece of hardware.
Right. Now, you had an interesting discussion that you relayed to me recently about a company that had suggested, hey, maybe we'll do some cloud sort of standards, certification. Can you fill
in? Yeah, cloud standards has been kind of a touchy subject because, you know, there's a lot of... Everybody wants to be in the cloud and everybody wants to have their own piece of it, yet nobody wants to share it with everybody else. And, you know, I think a series of cloud standards would alleviate that and kind of create a really nice kind of holistic environment. But, yeah, I was speaking with a new kind of up-and-coming consultancy / solution provider that's really focusing on the cloud, and they're launching, you know, what they're calling kind of a cloud certification program where they certify products as either being true cloud or being a cloud enablement product.
And there's a fine line between that, even though we're just talking about how confusing it can be.
And there is a fine line there, but I think when I spoke to this company, they kind of undersold this certification component. And, you know, I thought that was really the key, being able to go out to the companies that they serve and their clients, and being able to say, well, you know, we've labeled this as a cloud product.
Yeah.
And we've labeled this as a cloud enablement product.
Right.
It draws that distinction that I think is going to be necessary going forward so people don't get confused and, you know... really think they're getting something that they're not.
Right. And they kind of maybe undersold that a little bit in there.
They did. They did.
But they buried
the lead.
They
grossly undersold it. Yep.
Buried
the lead.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm guilty of doing that myself sometimes.
Yeah, we do it frequently. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that in cloud, you know, I mean, we have our own definition here, and it's a very loose definition. And, you know, we try, obviously, to... make sense of a very young, fast-growing industry where a lot is changing. If you kind of look back at last year, when you were working on the cloud list, the cloud 100, as opposed to this year, do you think there was more of that? You know, the more the cloud creepers, as you say, more of the people trying to get into it, or have we already started to see kind of like a maturation process of the industry where there's fewer sort of posers or pretenders or people trying to latch onto it?
Yeah, I think the market is weeding those leeches out, so to speak. It's you know, it's I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The cloud's been around for, as we know it, really, is for a good 5 years now.
Sure.
And, you know, I think for the most part, the market has matured. However, folks from outside of the market who aren't in this industry looking in, maybe not, you know, but sure. For us, having been here, we're on the technology side, we know, yeah. You know, but I think it's still a really confusing market for the folks on the outside. And there's going to be kind of this opportunism where these vendors that sell big iron and hardware and, you know, regular yeah. standard everyday software licenses are going to try to dupe customers into thinking that they're buying the next great cloud product. And that's not always the case.
What do you think of about what's going on with sort of the consumer end of this technology? I mean, now you see Microsoft doing these commercials to the cloud, which are really annoying. You have Amazon, they just released their you know, cloud locker, cloud service, cloud yeah. player, which I thought was very interesting. Do you think that is having any effect on our industry, on the business side, or
not yet? And I really don't think it's having much impact on the consumer side.
I would agree.
The commercials, the commercials to the cloud and cloud this, cloud that, that doesn't. It's not the word cloud that resonates with
yeah.
you know, people when they're watching Monday Night Football and they see these commercials.
Sure.
It's they don't care that it's the cloud. They just care that they can get their data or their files or their music or their photos when they're at grandma's house and they don't have a device, you know, they don't have their own device, but grandma has a computer and they can pull it up and, you know, log into a web portal and pull down all their photos.
Sure.
That's what they care about. But they don't say, oh, hold on, grandma, I have to go to the cloud and, you know, get photos of little Timmy's baseball game.
They say go to the internet. I mean,
that's what the cloud is. And that's where the cloud came from.
Right.
You know, the old presentations where, you know, vendors would try to illustrate what was happening over the internet, and they'd use a cloud as that imagery. Like, that's, yeah, the cloud is the internet. But I don't think most people are going to, outside of the industry itself and on the consumer side, are really going to refer to it as cloud. I mean, Apple has had Mobile Me for how long? And that's a cloud service. And, yeah, there's a cloud, picture of a cloud on the box, but who calls it Apple's cloud? Nobody. They call it Mobile
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think the cloud messaging is really what resonates with the consumers. It's tell the story of how easy it is to use and that you can get your stuff wherever you are as long as you have a web connection. Then maybe that message will start to really, you know, hit home.
Mm-hmm. And jumping back to Amazon's service that they just launched, you wrote about that. You seem pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, I like to remain objective, but Amazon is really, I think they really did something smart. I mean, and I'll break it down into just me personally. You know, I have a laptop I use for work. I have a laptop at home. I have a smartphone. My wife has a laptop. I've downloaded music to all four devices.
Yeah,
and I have to keep those, or, you know, use a USB to move things,
sure.
or email them to myself from one device to the other,
which is annoying.
And this Amazon's cloud drive, having that like digital locker and then the cloud player, being able to basically stream your music that you own, that you purchased, over the internet from the cloud, from that cloud drive, that's a valuable proposition. And it's, you know, and I bet Apple's kicking itself that it didn't get to its iTunes cloud first. And, you know, there's rumor that Google's been working on something like this for a while. Microsoft
as well, yeah.
And, you know, Amazon, and I'm, in the interest of all honesty, I haven't played with it yet. But, I mean, from what I've read about it, from what I've heard about it, it really sounds like they hit the nail right on the head. And this is gonna change how people consume digital media.
And that's the interesting thing. I mean, obviously it's music, so it doesn't really apply to what we write about every day. But I thought it was interesting because if you have that ability to, you know, if you start with music but you move it to other types of media,
yeah,
you're talking about. I'll give you an example. I mean, you know, I'm a big PC gamer.
Mm-hmm.
I play a lot of video games. This is a very old service. I think it goes back now to 2004, but Valve Software has a service called Steam, where they deliver games digitally. You can download them to your machine. Well, one of the things that they did that was very interesting was enable people to basically download the Steam software to any machine and download any game that they own in their library to that machine. Now we're talking about a game, a piece of software that's 8 to 10 gigabytes. Downloading it could take anywhere from 20 minutes to several hours. I mean, I've had to download
games. Depending on your connection, sure.
Yeah, depending on the connection, you know, several hours overnight. But it's interesting because if you are able to do that, and I've been able to do that now for, you know, years, then you're talking about applications. You're talking about high-definition video, a lot of other things just besides music, small MP3 files.
Well, yeah, I think about when you first started using email as an example. I mean, you couldn't access your email from any internet connection.
Sure.
And now there's webmail. I mean, that's incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
The ability to share. Say you're a sales guy and you wrote up a huge purchase order or something along those lines on your work laptop, but you know you left that in the office, you left it in the car.
Yeah.
You have the client on site right now. You pulling that up on your home computer, sure. Pulling it up even on your smartphone, you can capture digital signatures. I mean, it's then when you start to get into real time savings, cost savings, value, and it goes beyond music. I mean, music is the neat part. I mean, you know, that's the real consumer angle. But, you know, when you go to any of the cloud shows and the presentations all center around the consumerization of IT, well, this is where IT is getting all their ideas
right
now, from all this really cool stuff that consumers can do with these services.
Okay, so moving from consumer technology, consumerization of the cloud, I wanted to ask you, you've been to a lot of shows, a lot of events that are cloud-focused or have something cloud-related. What have you seen lately? What were some of the events that have really kind of stood out to you?
One of the biggest things that I'm getting from these cloud shows now was, especially compared to last year, is, you know, the discussion has changed. It's moved from kind of the defining what it is and what it's all about to, okay, how and what can this do for me, and how am I really going to use it? Not a what is it, let's define it. And that's led to some interesting discussions. I mean, we mentioned before, there's a lot of discussion around standardization. The security thing still remains an issue. One of the big topics at Cloud Connect in Santa Clara was compliance. I mean, when you're storing data in the cloud or on somebody else's server, you have compliance regulations. I mean, PCI in the cloud, the payment card industry data security standard. That's a real interesting thing, because you don't have your hands on the data. You can't show that it's in your data center when somebody comes in for an audit. You kind of just have to trust it. And that's become a really big topic. App development. Everybody's launching an app store. Everybody, you can buy, you know, Google's app marketplace, Apple kind of defined it, Amazon just launched one.
Sure.
You can buy apps for pretty much anything from anybody now. If somebody has a cloud service, they're going to have an app store that rides on top of it. And you know, that's where you get the fun stuff. It's a really interesting time, and it's cool to see this young market really start to blossom.
Have you run into, a point now in the industry where you've seen some companies where you've been following them, whether they're solution providers or whether they're vendors, where you look at them and say that company's got something, that they're really onto something, they're gonna make it. Are you able now to see kind of
There's certain ones
fulfilling on promise, I guess.
Yeah, there's certain ones that do that, and there were certain. I mean, there were a smaller number last year, and it's funny because you see the ones that really get it are the ones who got acquired this year. You know what I mean? You have, just for some examples, you know, CA acquiring AppLogic. AppLogic had this kind of really neat turnkey cloud thing, and
right,
you know, they got scooped up by CA. You have TerraMark, which was really making waves from the cloud infrastructure perspective, and I mean that's a whole different story because Verizon came in and scooped them up. So that that's kind of perpetuating this telecom providers wanting to become cloud providers story, which is just that's a really interesting paradigm right now where you know you have your AT&T's, your Verizon's, Time Warner Cable buying Navisite. I mean they're buying cloud providers, and that's really interesting. But yeah, there's some small up and comers that when you get that initial pitch, you're like, okay, these guys really get it, and you know, oh, they're kind of the first ones here, and then you either wait for them to receive all this massive praise or quickly get acquired.
right. What do you see happening in the, I guess, the solution provider end of the business now? I mean, I remember last year, you know, as we were kind of building the, you know, things like VAR 500 list and FastGrow, there were a lot of guys in the cloud, and certainly expect that to be the case again this year. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, it's still the same thing where large solution providers are kind of launching their own cloud practices. But there's this interesting new dynamic where these companies that are kind of born in the cloud are, you know, they're kind of a hybrid model between what your traditional VAR would be, a systems integrator, a consultant, and then they're throwing in this kind of ISV touch of things where they're doing custom app development. They're integrating, you know, three different clouds and, you know, kind of tying all these things together. And I think that's really where solution providers are going to benefit. That's the value. That's the V and VAR, you know, it's doing something different. I mean, anybody can sell cloud infrastructure.
Right.
That's, you know, and if you're okay with the margin from that, then that's great. But it's what are you doing on top of that for your customers and what kind of services you're putting behind that are really going to stand out and really differentiate and really, you know, drive customers to you.
And do you think there are going to be more VARs, there's going to be more of a movement of sort of cloud-oriented solution providers becoming cloud providers themselves?
Yes, but I see those being acquired.
Okay. That was my next question.
once they really get good at what they're doing, they'll, you know, one of the bigger cloud providers will come in and say, well, you know, you have a stronghold in Puerto Rico and you have a stronghold internationally. I don't. Give me. Money talks.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you see as the sort of the most lucrative the area that has the highest level of success for a solution provider that is looking to kind of latch onto the cloud and make the most of it? Is it in that sort of app development space?
It's in the app development space, and it's in the services. It's in the, you know, cloud readiness assessments. That's a big one because not every app is going to go in the cloud, and these customers don't know exactly what can be put there, what can't, and that's there's a lot of complexity there. And you know, these consulting firms and these they can come in and do these cloud assessments where, you know, they can tell you what apps will make sense, where there'll be a return on investment, where are the cost savings, you'll save this much. But you know what? You should probably leave your financial stuff sitting there in your data center or at least put it on some kind of dedicated network or something like that where, you know, nobody else can get their hands on it.
Right. Okay. And then lastly, before we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of, you know, the news? Cisco just had its partner conference recently. They announced a dedicated cloud partner program, which was kind of interesting. And then HP turned around this week and did the same thing. Do you think it's a good thing for the industry to have that sort of be its own separate kind of area under these vendors? Do you think it's going to encourage more solution providers to get into that business?
I mean, anytime the big boys do something, it sparks a little fire in the solution providers.
Sure.
I mean, you look at Cisco and HP with their thousands upon thousands of partners.
Yeah.
That's going to have a trickle-down effect, and more of these guys who are coming from traditional hardware, traditional networking sides of things will launch a cloud practice. it's also a really strong validation of the industry itself. I mean,
yeah.
If the big boys are doing it, you know somebody's doing it right somewhere, and it's the place to be. There's a little concern that some of the bigger companies, without naming specific names, are really kind of paying lip service to the trend,
right.
Saying, oh, we better get in on this or we're going to get left behind.
We're going to look silly,
you know,
right.
Let's hurry up, get our cloud strategy together before. But, you know, I talk to a lot of traditional cloud VARs about HP's entrance into the public cloud, and they thought it was great. I mean, they said, this shows what we've been doing all these years is on the right track, and, you know, who knows if their strategy will succeed, but, you know, they're saying all the right things, they're making all the right moves, and they seem passionate enough about it that this could be the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's leading to this new, you know, kind of back, if you want to go back 10, 12 years ago, where there's just this certain there's, you know, a handful of just massive IT companies that dominate the landscape. Cisco, HP, Dell, IBM, you know, Oracle, if mm-hmm. you want to pick another one. And I think they're going to be those powerhouses, and they're still going to be the small niche players under them, but they're going to be their one-stop IT shops, and that's kind of how it's going
to
go.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we had a chance to talk about the Cloud 100. I encourage everyone listening, I don't know how many people are listening yet, but since we're going to be doing this regularly, I hope that we're going to get more. But I encourage everybody to check out the Cloud 100 list and look at the different segments, the different industries that are covered under there. And wish Andrew luck, because he's probably going to have to start working on next year's Cloud 100, right about now.
Yeah.
You'll probably be getting submissions for it in your inbox, right, you know. So
maybe next year it'll be the Cloud 200.
Cloud 200. I'm sure people love that. You're teasing vendors out there.
The Cloud 1000.
Your phone's ringing off the hook now. So, all right. Well, I appreciate it, Andrew.
Well, thanks. Rob.